Calvary. And the burden our Savior was willing to carry for us. And there upon that tree, Lord, he shed his blood. All part of your eternal plan to save sinners like us. Father, thank you that during this life, we have the privilege of carrying Jesus Christ and suffering for him until he comes and carries us home. Thank you, Father. Now, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your living word once again, and may we apply it to our hearts and lives to honor thee, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you will take your Bibles now and turn with me to 1 Corinthians, we continue our study in this tremendous letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're in chapter 3, and we're going to pick up where we left off, and that will be at verse 10. But we want to look at verse 9 again, because that is kind of where we ended. Again, just as a refresher, chapter 3 here, Paul is correcting the church because of the divisions that were taking place. We talked about that. You know, some were choosing one minister over another, Paul over Apollos, or Peter over Paul. And there was that battle going on of well, my guy's better than yours. And there was division, jealousy, and all kinds of wrong attitudes in the church. And so Paul was trying to get across to them, there needs to be oneness, unity, and we are all fellow workers together. We are all servants together. And so look at verse 9. Paul said, "For we are God's fellow workers." He's speaking of himself and the other apostles, the other ministers of the gospel. "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building." You are God's building. He's talking to the church and saying, you're like a field. And we already saw that Paul had referenced the church, given the analogy of a farmer, of agriculture, watering and planting. But here he adds at the end of verse 9, church, you are God's building. You're God's building. And Paul is one of the workers that is helping, started the work to build the church here in this city of Corinth. And then look at verse 10. Look at what he says. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it." Paul, now almost it almost sounds like he's a little arrogant in the way he's saying, I'm a master builder. You know, God made me a wise master builder. But notice what he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. In other words, Paul didn't choose this. God chose him for this task. And that was to be the master builder. Notice he says, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. So what he's talking about is he is the one that founded the church at Corinth. And so he laid the foundation, which was the preaching of the gospel. People were saved, and then so the church began to grow. And then the believers began to grow spiritually as they heard and sat under the teaching of the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul was only there for about 8 months, and then he went on to Ephesus and Athens. And then after Paul left, that is when Apollos, The other preacher came into town, and then he began to teach the word of God and build upon what Paul had already planted. Apollos kind of came and watered. So this is what Paul is talking about. But then he makes this statement at the end of verse 10. But let each man or each person be careful how he builds upon it. Be careful how he builds upon it. The foundation has been laid, and Paul makes clear what that foundation is in verse 11. Look at verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is that foundation. The gospel, when we preach the gospel, we are laying a foundation, and it's the Holy Spirit does the work to draw people in, and those that are saved, they then begin to build on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was the one who laid the foundation. Apollos came in and began to build upon that foundation. But then we come to verse 12. And what we want to understand here is Paul is speaking of himself as a wise master builder. But then he's now going to speak to those in the church who are leaders in the church, pastors, elders, as well as the body of Christ there. Because now it gets personal. And this is why Paul said, let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, King James Version translates it stubble, each man's work, verse 13, will become evident because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. So here Paul is basically saying, church, you are the construction workers. You are the church that Christ wants to build. You've got the foundation, but you have to start building with the proper materials as you build up the church and build up your faith and your personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he speaks of the building here, he is talking about the believer who is building up what Christ has called the church to do, to grow and to build one another up, as well as growing spiritually, upon which our good works then are manifested. But he says these very different types of materials. How many of you are construction workers here? Anybody work construction? Yeah, I know Brother John, some others. Even if you do it on the side, some of you do that, and you know what it's like. I know some of you have built your own homes. That blows my mind. Think that somebody can go, you guys can go and build your own home. That is remarkable. When you did, those of you who did, build your own home, some of you may have went to Lowe's, right, and picked out the stuff you wanted to build your home with. But maybe some of those things, were expensive. They were, they were sturdy. They were going to last. But you notice the difference today between homes that are built now versus homes that were built maybe 50, 100 years ago. The difference is the older homes, most of them were made with stone or brick. You know, the materials that were more expensive, but nowadays it just seems like a lot of the homes are just made up of like cardboard. You know, the basic, not very expensive materials. And then when a storm comes through, many times it's those homes that don't stand up against the storm. The Apostle Paul is mentioning these different kinds of materials that you and I are using to build on, to build with here. And God is concerned about, as Paul is saying, quality in the materials you and I are building. Now, we're talking about a spiritual building, the church. You are the church. I am the church. Anyone who is a believer this morning, you are part of the bride of Christ. You're the member of the church of God. And so, therefore, you are on the foundation already. We are all, as believers, on the foundation, Jesus Christ. But as soon as I'm saved, I begin to do some building. And what do I choose to build my spiritual life with? Here he is speaking of the various qualities of materials. There are six materials listed here: gold, silver, precious stones. And of course, that they are more infinitely more valuable than the wood, hay, and straw. But it's interesting that that word there in verse 12, precious stones, when you see that, you suddenly think of, oh, jewels like rubies and diamonds and that sort of thing. But that's not what the Greek meaning is here. The Greek meaning of this translated precious stones refers to materials that were more expensive to build back then, like marble or granite, like when they built the temple and they used high quality stone. They just didn't use any stone or just brick and mortar or mud, but they used this more expensive type stone, like marble and granite, that they had to cut, and it was heavy. And you guys know what it's like if you put in a formica type kitchen top, you know, table for your wife, and then maybe she asks for, well, I would like granite, or I would like, you know, marble. And so you went and you paid a little more, and it took a little more work, and that was quality stuff you put down. That's what he is using here when he talks about this. What are these materials then? How do we apply this to our lives? When he says, okay, we are building either on gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. You see the two differences. The first three can withstand the fire. The second three are temporal. They will go up in flames. And so Paul is trying to point out the importance of what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ and what work we do and how we produce the fruits of the Spirit in our life. He looks at us, and if we are truly in God's word, and I am truly walking by faith, seeking to please the Lord, seeking to obey his will, obey his word, and I'm not putting myself first, but God is concerned about the motives of my heart. So are my motives selfish, or are they Christ-centered or other-centered? And I'm concerned about others. When I begin to live my life that way, that is when I am building with gold, silver, and bronze, as it were, spiritually. And God is keeping a record of how I'm building that. You know, it's easy for us to judge sometimes. But I wanted you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Let's go over to Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, now verse 23, he first says, Hebrews 10, 23, the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." But then he encourages the saints, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." What day is that? That's the day when Jesus returns, the rapture. Could happen any time, any moment. But until then, what are we urged to do? We are urged to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And the only way we do that is what we're doing here this morning, is not forsaking the assembly, but coming together. And when you came this morning, families, dads, moms, when you chose to come to Jonestown Bible Church this morning for this service, you put God first. You put the Lord first. You were seeking to worship the Lord and to hear from Him through His Word, and you wanted your children to learn and hear from God's Word as well. And so you came. Grandparents, you may have brought grandkids, and you just wanted them to be here in church, and you have come faithfully. Every time you have come, God has marked that down, and that, what you have done today, is the gold, silver, and bronze, the special materials that Paul says are the ones that will last. That this is evidence of you being here, of what materials you built, were building today here. But here we see, then he says, verse 24, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Good deeds. Basically, if we want to sum it up, we could go in, try and separate like the gold, silver, precious stones. We could separate all those and try and figure out, okay, what does he mean by gold? All right, let's try and figure out what works would fit under the gold category or under the silver or the precious stones. But basically, they're all basically saying the same thing. He's talking about the quality of our works. Are we building for the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go over to Colossians 3, verse 17. And Paul writes to the church here in Colossae. Whatever, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed," okay, and that can be, you know, whatever deeds you are doing, hopefully it will be the gold, silver, precious stones. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." In the name of Jesus. This kind of sums it up right here. Do I get up in the morning and do I desire whatever is planned, even the things that I have planned or the unknown that's going to come, which I don't know what's going to be waiting for me. Only the Lord knows in that day. It may be trouble, it may be trials, but whatever it is, do I get up in the morning, I say, "Lord, whatever I do in word or deed, I want to do it in the name of Jesus." And by that statement, in the name of Jesus, basically, It is saying to the Lord, thy will be done. I want to do your will, because that is what Jesus did when he came to earth. He did the will of the Father. And so I must go forth and say, okay, Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I want to do. And I want to make sure my works, what I'm building with, the materials I'm building my life with, the spiritual life, that I am building a spiritual structure in my life that pleases you, that honors you, and others can see that Christ is doing the building in me. That they see Christ in me, and then I'm manifesting the fruits of the Spirit as I allow the Spirit to control me. This is so beautiful when we consider this, and we consider living this way and building with these kind of materials. So go back with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. So he speaks of all the different kinds of materials we can choose to build with. I think the wood, hay, and stubble, and the straw refers to, you know, my selfish motives and just doing things in my life that just satisfy me. And I really don't have God in the picture as much. And yes, I love the Lord, but I'm not really fully, wholeheartedly serving him, seeking to do the good deeds which bring glory to his name. But then Paul goes on here, verse 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, the day of Christ, the rapture, when he returns for us, his bride. It will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, because we will be taken to heaven. Once the rapture occurs, all believers are taken to heaven. And then it is during that time, while we believe that the scriptures say that after the rapture, the seven-year tribulation period begins down here. With the Antichrist, you can read about it in Revelation, and all that's going to happen and God's going to judge the earth will be gone. But while we are in heaven, it looks like that would be the time that you and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ individually. He is going to be sitting on a throne, and I'm going to stand before him and give an account of how I built my house. Because that is when my house is going to be, you might say, inspected. How many of you have been inspectors of a home? Anybody gone out and done inspection? I know, well, we had a few men in our church that have done inspecting of homes or inspecting of buildings. You got to go there. Whenever, if you're on the job, this you hear the inspectors coming, what do you usually do if they're on the job? Oh, man. Suddenly you get and make sure everything's in order, right? You straighten that out. Oh, man, he's coming today. And you got to make sure everything's ready, because he's going to come and inspect. There is coming inspection day for you and I before the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me. Just slide over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul refers to this day. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. So here he's speaking to the church at Corinth. In his first letter, here he's talking about one day you're going to be judged according to your deeds, according to your works. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Do you see that? The good or bad are those materials Paul was talking about. The good is the gold, silver, precious stones. The bad is the cheap stuff. You know, the wood, hay, and stubble. But this judgment seat, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is this judgment seat of Christ? Well, in ancient times, there was a seat where a judge would sit down, and it was called the Bema seat. The Bema seat. And this was a seat, a seat that was used when they had the Greek Olympics or they had any kind of games, and they had athletes participating. And just like our Olympics today, when it's all over, what happens at the end? Well, they bring the contestants out, right? Some may have been disqualified. They ran the race the wrong way, so they're not going to receive any reward. Then there are others. Oh, he came in third place. He came in second place. And what does the first place winner usually get? Yes, the gold medal. And this is what is the term here, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, is referring to. This judgment is not a judgment where we are going to stand before him and he's going to decide whether or not we go to hell or heaven. That is a separate judgment according to Revelation. That is a future judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, where he will sit upon a great white throne judgment, and that will be the judgment of all the unsaved throughout the ages. And they will stand and give an account. Now, their works will be looked at as well, but each one of them must go into eternity in a lake of fire. And of course, there will be different degrees of punishment there according to the scriptures. But that's a said, we won't be there at the great white throne judgment. This is our judgment, and it concerns my quality of my life and works. And if I were to stop right now and say, this is my last day on earth, and I look back on my life, would I be anxious to see my Lord Jesus Christ? That I can't wait to stand before him at this judgment seat? And so that he can open the books? No. I think all of us would bow our heads because we know that we failed him time and time again. Every one of us are guilty of building with the cheap materials. And when sometimes we can get wrapped up in this world and the worldly things, and it gets me to a place where I'm really not glorifying Christ. I'm not doing the good works he wants me to do in sharing Christ, being a witness, as well as loving like I should, encouraging others, and building up the body of Christ and being used of God in the church as in ministry, but all these things. But I'm just out there doing my own thing. One day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's going to say, I remember this day you were building with the straw, and I can't give you reward. So he will withhold reward from us that we could have had. But if we have built with the gold, silver, precious stones as we stand before Jesus, it is those times, like here today, you have, all of you are here, you just built, you added on to your spiritual building, your own life, your spiritual walk, you have used gold, silver, and precious stones today. And so one day, Jesus will bring that out and say, I remember, look at this. You remember you were at Jonestown Bible Church on this day. And you were there to worship me. You put me first in your life. And then what will he do? He will give us rewards. Just like in the Olympic Games, he'll give us rewards. Turn to Luke chapter 10 with me. Let's go over to Luke quickly. Luke 10, Jesus gives a parable here. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, what kind of rewards are we going to get in heaven? Luke chapter 10, pick it up at verse here, verse 2. Look at verse 2. And Jesus is saying he had appointed 70 others. He was going to send 70 others out into the field, two by two, to every city. They were going to serve him. Now, they had a choice of what kind of materials they were going to use to build with. And he says to them, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And that's where we are. We are on earth in the midst of wolves right now, Christian. And be assured that when the persecution comes, that is when I'm going to be tested. What kind of material am I going to use to build with when I am under pressure here and under persecution on earth for the sake of Christ? He says, verse 4, carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking. And that what they give you for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. A laborer is worthy of his wages. Some people think that, well, our reward when we get to heaven is just going to be that we're there, and it is. If we were to get nothing else but just to be in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity, isn't that the most wonderful reward that we could all have? But yet, the Lord Jesus has chosen to give beyond that. He's going to give us specific rewards just as you and I are laborers in the field for Christ. He is going to reward us just like God has expected laborers in the field for him to be rewarded, and one day he will be rewarded. We find that there are other rewards that are mentioned in Scripture. Anybody want to know what one particular type of reward we're going to get? Just shout it out. Crowns. Yes. Some of you have done studies on the different crowns that are going to be given out by the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be given at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat here, and they will be given out. There's the imperishable crown, 1 Corinthians 9. And then there are the other ones, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life. You know, there are these all different crowns that are going to be given for specific work and ministry that we have done. God is going to reward us one day. But you know, as I think of building, I'm sure Paul had in mind, as he was speaking to the Corinthians, he had in mind possibly the Temple of Solomon. And I was looking for someone in the Old Testament that would give us a good picture of someone who was building with good materials, but then started building with the cheap stuff, his life. Turn to 1 Chronicles 22 with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and here we have the account of David, who is dying, and Solomon is going to be sitting on the throne now. So 1 Chronicles 22, verse 7. And David said to Solomon, as David's dying soon, David said to Solomon, my son, I had intended to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood on the earth before me. Now, it's not that was wrong of David to do, but just God didn't want a warrior to build the house of the Lord, the temple. Verse 9, behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side, for his name shall be called Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. And he, verse 10, shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, God speaking here, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And then David says, now my son, the Lord be with you, that you may be successful and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only the Lord give you discretion and understanding, and give you charge over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Right then and there, David is basically saying, Solomon, you're going to build the temple of the Lord. You're being called to do that by God. But what's first and foremost? As you take charge as king over Israel, keep the law of the Lord. And that is the same message for you and I, the Word of God. I must keep God's Word in my heart and live by it, obey it, and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in my heart, so that if I begin to build with the wrong kind of materials, the cheap stuff that's going to burn one day, then the Holy Spirit can convict me of that. And as I have the Word of God in me, and he will reveal, hey, you get rid of that stuff and start using the gold, silver, precious stones. And so then he goes on, verse 13, then you shall prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and ordinances which the Lord commanded Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now behold, with great pains I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond weight, for they are in great quantity. Also timber and stone I have prepared, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are many workmen with you, stone cutters and masons of stone and carpenters and all men who are skillful in every kind of work. David made sure that when Solomon had the temple built, he was going to have some men that had the talent to do it. Skilled men. And the Lord Jesus is looking for his church to be skilled men and women in building his spiritual house by using the materials that are found in the Word of God, the spiritual materials, which will bring glory to him. David was building, you know, expense, cost didn't matter. He was going to make this out of the best material he could. And so he said, verse 16, of the gold, the silver, and the bronze, and the iron, there is no limit. Arise and work, and may the Lord be with you. But now, so he built that beautiful temple, and he honored the Lord, and he built, literally, he used gold, silver, precious stones, or you know, he used those literally, physically, to build the physical temple of the Lord. But at the same time, Solomon started out building his spiritual life with the gold, silver, precious stones. Do you remember when God came to him and asked him, hey, I'll give you anything you wish for, you name it. And what did he ask for? Wisdom. If you ask for wisdom like that, that tells me that he wants to build with the gold, silver, precious stones of God. He wants God's wisdom. And then therefore God blessed him with more. But just like, and we can see ourselves in Solomon, because now I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 11. Okay, so you're going back. All right, you're in Chronicles, but go back to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. So here's Solomon as he's grown older. Has he grown wiser? I don't think so. Look what he began to build with spiritually. Verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, "You shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you." What does God say? "For they will surely turn your heart away after their gods." Solomon held fast to these women in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives, what did they do? Turned his heart away, just like God said they would. "For it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been." Do you see what has happened? Do you see how suddenly Solomon in his latter years began to build with the cheap stuff that's going to be burned up? It's not bringing glory and honor to the Lord. And it doesn't matter what age we are here today. I can be building with the right kind of materials to honor the Lord Jesus, but then suddenly I can drift away and the world can start getting my attention, just like the women did for Solomon, and suddenly my heart goes elsewhere. And suddenly, maybe I'm falling in love with this, or maybe I'm falling in love with that, and I'm not giving my heart wholeheartedly to the Lord. And so, what did he continue to do there? Verse 6. You know, "And Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done." Not only that, but verse 7, "Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. And thus he also did for his foreign wives. He allowed them to burn incense and sacrifice to their gods." And again, it goes on and on. Here we have a beautiful picture that tells us, do you see what can happen? If I am not watching my spiritual life, where I am, where my heart motives are, and am I living for Christ, and am I building with the right kind of material? Here was a sad example of ending up with building with things that are going to burn up. And in conclusion, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and just look at the rest of these verses. Because on Judgment Day, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where we will stand individually, let's pick it up at verse 13 again. "Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." This is a heavenly fire. We don't know what kind of fire it is, but it's going to be heavenly fire that is going to test our spiritual, the work we've done on earth. "If a man's work," verse 14, "which he has built upon it remains, In other words, did he use the gold, silver, precious stones? He shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work is burned up, this is a key verse, verse 15, concerning eternal security of the believer. If any man's work is burned up, and that would be because he built with the wood, hay, and straw, the selfish stuff, selfish motives, and other things, and not good works, he shall suffer loss. In other words, he's not going to get the rewards he could have had. But he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so as through fire. Yet he himself shall be saved. What is he saying here? He's saying that when the believer, we stand before Jesus Christ and he tests our works on earth, some will be burned up, the bad ones, the good ones will remain. But maybe there's a Christian who doesn't have much good in his life, build a lot of, you know, the cheap materials. And suddenly the fire, heavenly fire comes, burns it all up, and he has basically nothing, hardly at all, in the way of rewards. What is he saying here? He's saying, yet that man or woman will still be saved. In other words, your salvation and my salvation is fireproof. That you and I, once we are saved, we can be guaranteed we are in the hand of the living God and we are in the palm of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can pluck us out of his hand. And this is another wonderful passage to tell us that I am God's child forevermore. And when I get to heaven, I'll be before the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't concern hell because that's already been paid for by the blood of Christ on the cross, and his righteousness was what saved me, that I can stand before him and spend eternity in heaven. I know that that my salvation holds secure. But I must leave here today thinking, Lord, what am I building with? And I must look to tomorrow and say, I have another opportunity, another day to glorify him. Let us seek to do that and to build a spiritual building that when we stand before Christ, you will receive your reward and he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the tremendous truths that you have revealed to us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us salvation full and free through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we might be wise builders upon that foundation. And Father, help us to be discerning on how we build, what materials we use, that you may be glorified in us. And one day, you will receive these good works as an offering from us. And you have promised to give us reward, which no doubt we will want to lay at your feet. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us more time to build the church and to be fellow workers together until the trumpet sounds. We ask this now as we think of our Lord Jesus Christ. With head still bowed right now and eyes closed, perhaps you're here this morning and you have never begun building on the foundation. You've never taken Jesus Christ and laid him down as your foundation for your life. You need to do it now because you will stand at the other judgment, the great white throne judgment, and that will be too late then. But would you accept Christ as your foundation knowing he died for you on the cross, shed his blood, and through his sacrifice, him dying for you on that cross, your sins, you can be forgiven of your sins right now and receive the free gift of eternal life. It is yours to receive, but you must choose it. If you're ready to make that decision, would you do it now? You can pray something like this. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sin. I believe you died on that cross for me and took the punishment for my sin. Come into my heart right now. Wash my sins away. I receive you today as my very own Savior. Thank you for dying for me and rising from the dead, Lord Jesus." With head still bowed, if you gave your heart to Christ, you are now a child of God. You've been born again. Welcome to the family. Heavenly Father, thank you again for so great a salvation. And Father, I pray that you might give the assurance to any who may have trusted Christ today. Give them the assurance of their salvation, that they are your child forevermore. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.